Hello, colleagues. Let's start in time our session. So welcome to this session number 7, Effective Partnerships for Quality Improvements. My name is Claudia Juncker, so I'm going to chair this session, and I work for Eurostat, leading the unit on quality and government finance statistics. I see a large interest, the room is almost too small, in the topic that we have, which of course is a very hot topic, I think, for many offices around the globe. We have called it in the program committee Effective Partnership for Quality Improvements, but of course the main topic is on how we use maybe other data than we are used to use so far, mainly big data, and what kind of partnerships we need to establish to be able to use them, partnerships that go beyond of what we are used to work with in our national statistical systems. From an organizational point, it would be nice if you either switch off your mobile phones or put them on silent so we don't get disturbance during the sessions. A session. We will have 5 speakers, as you can see. Yolanda Gomez-Menchon from Spain, Albrecht Wirtmann, my colleague from Eurostat, Helene Vera from Canada, Natalie Rosensky from Germany, and Peter Struis from the Netherlands. I think you're already used to that. Please keep questions and comments after we have heard all the presentations, and maybe we also get some questions on Twitter. Our support colleagues will tell us later. And with that, I would like to start the session. The first speaker is Yolanda Gomez-Menchon. She works since 1999 as a legal advisor at INE Spain, but was also involved in quality issues, for example, through the task force on the code of practice and the statistical law long ago, set up by Eurostat, and also in the task force on the second round of peer reviews. And she is also a member of INE's internal group on big data, which was set up in 2015. And I'm sure she will tell us a lot of the experience she has gained there in the paper called Legal Aspects Related for... I cannot read. For enhance the cooperation with data holders, the case of Spain. So the floor is yours.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Okay, we divided our paper in 4 parts. These are the 4 parts. The first is what like an introduction of big data and official statistics, then going through the legal and practical aspect based in the Spanish experience we have for having access to big data. Then reflecting for the new models of cooperation we need now, and make some conclusions. So, as most of us know, in the European statistical system, we consider that the starting point shall be the Scheveningen Memorandum and the roadmap that was adopted by the ESS Committee in 2014. At that moment, it was highlighted that the legal and ethical aspects were really important for having access to these new data sources. After that, a big project was set up on big data, and one of the implementing tools of this big project is the ESNet on big data, that we have here one of the responsible of that, so he can talk more about this. Let's go to the legal and practical issues we found during our experience in Spain. And the first thing we want to stress is that if you look to the statistical process, for example, the GSVPM model, you realize that, of course, when you are using a tertiary source as big data, it has an impact in all the phases of the statistical process. The design, the collection phase, dissemination phase. For example, if we look at the collection phase, we can see that we need to know beforehand which data we want. If those data are we need it raw data or processed data, how we are going to have access to those data, for example, directly in the data holder premises or by algorithms or through third intermediary parties. Do we have to pay for the data or for the cost of extraction? So all those questions arise, for example, in this collection phase. But the first thing we need to know is if we have access, if we have the right of addressing the private data holders and ask for data. And here we look at our statistical law, which is from 1989, so it's not quite old, but at that moment big data was not even in the mind of the legislators, and we realized that our mandate was wider enough to have access to big data sources, because we can ask for data for all the natural person, legal person resident in Spain, just if we prove that we needed to elaborate statistics, to produce statistics. So, and as I read, and other member states are in the same situation. So we have to ask why is it still so difficult to have access to these data sources. Well, there are, we could say, collateral issues or problem, but which are directly affected of these big data sources, as the ethical principles, the ownership of the big data, and if it is really relevant for having access to the big data, confidentiality issues, also the commercial value of those data, are there assets of the companies, and the question of the cost, associated cost. So we are not going in detail with these ethical issues because there is also a session devoted on that. So just to mention that from our point of view, it has been addressed from the institutional perspective. And of course, we have to look to our ethical principles, which are in the code of practice. So all these questions must be addressed from this perspective. And we consider that all the recent amendment that has been included in the code of practice in 2017 are going in the good direction. This is the ownership of the big data is one of the things that private data holders sometimes claim for given or not given access to the data. From our point of view, we need to distinguish between a natural person and a legal person. As regards natural person, we can see that, of course, the data belongs to the person itself, not to the company. And the company, if you look to the General Data Protection Regulation and also national legislation on data protection, you will realize that the companies are just the controller of the data, are not the owners of the data. So they have to apply the law, the General Data Protection Regulation and national laws to give access for those legal users. And we will see that, of course, statistics is one of them. If we look at the statistical law, even Regulation 223, 2009, in our case, the Spanish statistical law, we realize that we have the right of having access to those personal data for elaborating statistics. As regards the data from legal person, here, of course, when a company has data of a legal person, it's because there is a specific condition for the accessing of those data. But even here, we cannot apply, of course, the General Data Protection Regulation, but even here we can apply the statistical law. And if we apply the statistical law and we prove that we need those big data for making statistics, they should give us access. So from our point of view, the conclusion is that the ownership shouldn't be an obstacle for accessing big data. This is really linked to the confidentiality issues. Here again, we can distinguish between natural data from natural person and legal person. And applying general data protection regulation again to the data coming from legal person, we realize that, as I told you, Article 5 of this regulation and also Residual 15 states that we can use data, natural data, data for natural person for making statistics, because this is lawful. So it means that the data holders as controller should give us data for making statistics. Again, when we go to the statistical law, European and national statistical law, we see that we have a special protection that all of us know, which is the confidential secrecy. So the statistical confidentiality protects all those data coming from a natural person, and even we don't have the obligation to inform the citizens that we will use their data, small data or big data, to make statistics, because we cannot know beforehand which data we need. Of course, we can say that from the ethical point of view, it should be good to inform at least a general statement that we can use all this data to make statistics, but if there is not a need to inform natural person. As regards legal persons, again, we find that in the statistical law there is a full protection by the statistical confidentiality of this data. And it is independent, if the data come directly from natural person or legal person or from administrative data sources or other sources. They have the same protection. So the conclusion is that data holders cannot claim confidentiality issues to deny access of their data. Another thing is what happens with the commercial confidentiality. And this is linked to the commercial products or assets. We, during our experience, we realized that big data were a commercial product of some companies, and this is one of the reasons they are really reluctant to give us the data. So in this sense, they also sometimes claim that there were intellectual rights protecting the data. But here, okay, we can say that statistics are public service. Statistics will never enter into competition with them, etc. And I defend that. But the truth is that if we want to have access to the data, we need to look for some ways of cooperation. We cannot go like a bull directly, even if we have the right to do it. As regards the associated cost, here we think that we need to distinguish also between the value of the data and the value of the extraction of the processing of the data. In the first case, official statistics should not pay for the data, because as I told you, we thought that we have a legal mandate to have access to the data, so we shouldn't pay for that. At the same, we don't pay for data when we deliver surveys and things like that. Different is the extraction cost that sometimes some companies has developed a specific programs, a way of extraction, so it's fair that they ask us to give part of this cost, to support part of this cost. But the problem is what we find that what they are asking for are not reasonable costs. So it should be good, from our point of view, to have some kind of common guidelines for the statistical office, just to know what could be a reasonable cost to pay for this extraction of the big data. So as I told you, we believe that we need to cooperate with the private data holders or data tenant. And here we can see that in the European statistical system, even the concept of cooperation has developed and has increase in some way. If we look to Regulation 322/1997 of European Statistics, we realize that the cooperation was more focused in the internal area, Member State and Eurostat, and sometimes also the banks. But after Regulation 223, it looked also to other partners, as, for example, international organization, of course, but also the academy. And in 2016, with the Quality Declaration, you can find there a new concept of cooperation, which is the cooperation with data holders to improve quality. And this new need has been included, as I mentioned before, in the amendments introduced in the Code of Practice in 2017. That now you can find some reference of the collaboration or cooperation with data holders. So we agree that we need new ways of cooperation. But how? Well, recent studies talk about partnership. We need some kind of partnership, but if you look into what partnership is here, you can find that partnership is everything. Partnership can be legal partnership. Partnership can be like gentlemen agreements among private companies and NSIs. So independent of the cooperation tool we choose, contracts, other kind of partnership, what is true is that we need to include in this contract partnership all the problems from the two parts. So balance the benefits and risks. Ownership, confidentiality, dissemination rules, etc. But here are some questions arises. If it is like a Sinalakmati relationship, we are cooperating, we are working for the same aim. Should we be on equal footing with private companies? And do we need a new legal framework? Okay. As regards if we are working for the same aim, okay, from our point of view, the question should be yes. But if we take into account that the common aim is the public interest. So it's true that we can give to the company, or we can offer to the company something for compensation, for consideration, but never from the commercial perspective. And this is important, they understand that. As regards if we are on equal footing, so the answer just can be no. We cannot be on equal footing because we work for the benefit of the society, and they have to understand also that. Do we need a common legal framework? Okay, the ESS already answered that, asking to the Commission to amend the PSI directive, the one for the use of public data for private proposals, but in the other way around. And we ask for amending this directive in order to have a common legal framework for making statistics with this private or data from data holders. And we will see where are now. As regards compensation on incentives we can give to the data holders or data tenant, well, authors talk of different kind of incentives, such as giving their access to other data sources, of course, respecting confidentiality principle, offering data analytical skills, enhance reputation of the company, or just for responsibility, social responsibility or philanthropy. But what should assure also to them? Okay, we should assure not only to apply a statistical confidentiality that we are obliged to, but also to respect the commercial confidentiality before other companies. Their product, not only for the products, but also for the know-how. And also, we need to choose a dissemination policy which is less harmful for them, but also for us. And also, what should we request for the data tenant? Okay, free access for the data, but paying with extraction costs in a reasonable way. also reasonable process, treatment, extraction, dissemination rights, because this is one of the things also we find when we try to negotiate with data holders, that they don't want us to disseminate the results. So what the aim? So we need dissemination rights, and also try to have at least long-term cooperation to avoid volatility risk. What can we expect in the short term? Now we know from April this year that the Commission is not going to amend PSI directive in the medium term to include this common legal framework. What the Commission did instead of that is to publish some guidelines to help public bodies to negotiate or to have access to the private data. In this case, it's not only addressed for statistics, to make statistics, but also to other public uses. But if you look at the guide, which is interesting, you will realize that statistics are like an example, a good example for the in this guideline. And of course, it is essential that we make a communication campaign. Because we also realize when we discuss with the companies that they don't know very much how we work. They don't know how the confidentiality rules work in statistics. So it is important that we make an extra effort in the European statistical system to communicate how we work and why we need big data. And of course, we need to continue working in these methodology issues with this new business case was adopted by the ESS committee. This is just for you to know that this new guidance of sharing private sector data in European data economy has some principles and also some possible cooperation model. It is in the Commission webpage, so you can have a look. It's really interesting to read it. And to conclude, just in this area of post-truth, of course, we need to be there. We need to have reliable statistics, quality statistics, but also timely statistics. And for that, we need to have access to big data. We need for that to strengthen cooperation with data holders to let them understand what we do and why we need big data. And for that, we need also to strengthen cooperation, not only among us in the European statistical system, but also with other institutions, with the Commission, the Director Generals, with the Council, the Parliament, in the European Union, in order to let people understand what we are doing and what we need. Thank you very much.
Thank you for, I think, a good start into the session on the legal framework. I will have to be a bit stricter with the other speakers because otherwise we run out of time. I'm sorry for that. So the second speaker is Albrecht Würthmann, who works in the Task Force on Big Data in Eurostat, a task force which is working on the different issues. I think many of them were listed here before. And he will talk in his paper about the ethical implications of using big data for official statistics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Claudia. There is a close, as we already saw in the previous presentation, there's a close interlinkage between legal issues and ethical issues. So I will also make some linkages in between when I explain the ethical issues. So we did a project that looked at ethical issues of using big data for official statistics. I think there is a difference between using it for private purposes and for official statistics, because in official statistics is not interested in the individual, but in bigger populations. What we did is we did an analysis of ethical issues. We did an ethical review that went into the reformulation of the Code of Practice, which was then adopted in 2017. And another part was to give some ethical guidelines on the use of big data in official statistics, which also resulted, for example, concretely in the use of web scraping and guidelines for web scraping. We started with identifying some data sources that should be looked at. I have to say that the data sources are very dispersed or very very different, and also it's very important how you use these data sources in a personal way, in a non-personal way. So this added complexity to the project. The principles or the basis, the fundament of the professional ethics is the statistical European Statistical Code of Practice, which determines how statistics are produced and how they are disseminated, but also then on an individual basis, the Declaration of Professional Ethics, which then gives then principles to the statisticians itself, so respect, the integrity, truthfulness. These were used then in evaluating ethical issues. The approach was that we tried to identify those issues, we formulated ethical questions, then we consulted stakeholders on these ethical questions. We, from the questions, we tried to identify the principles in the code of practice, and then we reviewed those principles and made some proposals for changes in the principles. What you have to know when you think about ethical issues is that big data are mostly secondary data sources, so it's about observing, not asking people, but also what you have to know is that if you think of social networks, that it's not how people or people might not be that honest, so they are aware of how they present themselves in the public. However, it's also, well, there is, if you ask somebody in a survey, he might also not say the truth, or he might say the truth but reacts differently, so there are different issues around that. Another thing is that there are emerging data markets, so there is a lot of expectation of monetization in this market, which then has implications on the data holders. And you have also new analysis methods for analyzing those data. For example, machine learning, neural networks, which might be perceived as a black box, but I will explain it later on. Well, we statistical offices do not hold the data, so they have to approach mostly private data holders. There might be a mandate for data collection, but this might not be apparent to the data holders themselves. Even if you have a legal mandate for data collections, it might not be so straightforward to get those data. And of course, if you rely on mostly there are a few data providers, then there are questions of professional independence. If you enter into partnerships with them, there might be questions of impartiality. And there is a general question of balancing public and private interest in using those data. There are a lot of emerging now third-party data providers who collect then from other companies, then data and merge them together, and then offer their data on the market. There, an issue is as well the transparency, and there is also an issue of the professional independence of the statistical office. So, if you rely on a certain data provider. Concerning privacy or personal data, in principle, there's the new GDPR, then regulating the use of personal data. With what is new, probably with big data, is that you can infer from non-personal data to personal data. There might be a threat of disclosure through data accumulation, so the more data you accumulate, then you might be able to know new things about individuals that is not apparent from the separate sources, And also we use big data for giving more granular information, so also then identification of smaller groups might be necessary, and then you have to take care of that. In principle, for the GDPR, you have to have a consent, which is not applicable if you use this data in a public interest. However, I think that at least the public has to be informed, and better, I think it's better to go into a communication process with the public to explain how this data are used, for what purposes these data are used, and not mix up public and private interest in using that. You make statistical inference on observed behaviors, so there might be a need for revisiting statistical concepts, because you are only getting partial information on the individual, on the topic that you want to analyze. More, and you use neural networks, machine learning algorithms. They might appear as a black box, so you give something in, you receive something out, but you don't know what is happening in between. However, this has been in the meantime as well seen as an issue in the industry, so there are developments that go into the direction of making this process more transparent, so there, and making a standard out of this, and so we should follow this up as well. And there is also an issue of skills. So data scientists or people who know how to deal, how to process this data are not very, or are very scarce. So statistical offices are in competition with private companies. There might be a lack of skills. So one way out could be sourcing, but then statistical offices have to ask themselves, what do we source and how do we source it? Do we give up control, or do we control it? Do we understand the processes? And well, there's an over issue on quality. So in principle, you do not plan the collection of these data. So it's very important to analyze thoroughly the input data, and also to design the production process. Mainly, it's big data are used not as such as standalone data, but are integrated with other data. So it's quite often this issue of quality of multi-source statistics. And what is of overall importance is the transparency of all the processes. So you have to, private data holders have to be very transparent on how they collect the data in order for us to analyze then the data for their quality. But also statistical officers should be very transparent, because the data holder has as well an interest in using those data, and therefore I think there's a transparency on both sides, which is not new for statistical offices, but which might require some changes in certain parts of it. So transparency is of overall importance. These data are perceived as an economic asset. So companies, there's a high expectation of companies to make money out of that. And this often, quite often, prevents then collaboration. So they see us as a customer, and this is not the way we should approach them. We should approach them as a partner, and as a valid partner that can add also value to their data, and that they can also learn from us. I think that this has to be entered into into a partnership where each partner has its certain role, and not and the statistical office not the role as a client. So in this way of using this data, there we are using it in the public interest, whereas then the private data holder has also a legitimate right to use it for their private interest to make profit, and we have to keep this balance in between the private use of the data and the public interest.
One
Mm-hmm. So I'm coming to conclusions. So what we see for the revision of the code of practice, there is, well, it's not all, the principles are not really new, but there might be some principles with, which were of minor importance in the past, which gain more importance, like these partnerships and cooperation with the data holders. There might be some, there are similarities with administrative data. However, you have to mind that this data comes mostly from private private data holders with their own interest. And also this data might be quite volatile. And also availability of this data is not guaranteed. So you have to implement certain measures that complement or that mitigate the risk that arise from that. There you have to deal with private data holder. There's an issue of privacy confidentiality, so the rights of the statistical offices to deal with private data, the right of the private holders not to deal probably with private data. Transparency, I already mentioned, is of high importance. And there is also, we see a need or probably of a trusted third party that guides the cooperation or the production process from private sources to public statistics. I don't know if statistical offices could play this role or if there should be some separate institutions also playing this role. But this is also quite important in gaining a confidence also on the private sector. Then I would like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Albrecht, also for keeping pretty well to the time. We're improving. The third speaker will be Helen Berard. She is the Director of Administrative Data Division and Analytical Studies in Statistics Canada. Oh, she's already there. And also has worked on methodology and statistical infrastructure, as well as data acquisition, partnerships, governance, so all the issues we are discussing here. And she will present strategies to improve and maintain the quality of administrative data. So the floor is yours.
Hello. Bonjour. So I'm very happy to be here today. So maybe I'll... So we'll talk about the administrative data program that was developed by Statistics Canada. Brief overview. Essentially, it's based on five pillars. The first one is governance. Then we have establishing partnership, efficient two-way communication, developing skills and tools, and finally having a research and development program to have a more efficient use of administrative data. When I mean administrative data, Statistics Canada, it involves any data that is collected from other organizations. It includes big data. So when you send min data in this context, it includes big data. So all these pillars are interconnected. For this presentation, given the time that I have, I will make reference to some of them. Then I will describe the experience that we have in the past few years in establishing partnership in order to obtain administrative data from the private sector and the public sector. And finally, I'll conclude talking about our future challenges. So the administrative data program, we decided that we needed to build new policy instruments that were related directly to administrative data. So we developed a new policy. There's a link. It's available online. A new directive and guidelines. One of the key factors for this policy instrument is we came with the notion of the data custodian. The data custodian is the person that will represent the organization and that will do all the negotiation with the data provider. By doing this, we ensure that we have efficient communication. It's always the same group of people communicating. But also, we take into account the corporate needs when we do an acquisition with a data provider. We also came with centralized services and tools. For example, my division is responsible to offer all the services for the data acquisition for the entire corporation. There's another division that's responsible to offer all the legal services. We have developed a number of templates that we use when we do our data acquisition agreements. We have developed an inventory of administrative data, and we have this approach that it's admin data first. So when a statistical program wants to start a new project, they must first check, can I use administrative data to meet my goals? and they can use this inventory to find out if the data that they may be able to use is already available. If it's not there, then they can contact us, and maybe there's other source of data that we can try to obtain for them. And we developed an administrative data evaluation framework for the data that's coming in. So when we talk about establishing partnerships, so this is, I'm just sharing with you the experience that we had over the past few years. We have been accessing admin data for decades, but in the past few years, we have been obtaining admin data from the private sector. So we gain new experience. So these are the lessons learned from what we have been doing recently. So what we find out is very important for us. First step is to find out as much as possible about the data provider business model. This applies to both private or public sector. So we need to find out about the data product. So what we do essentially is we go online, we find out about what metadata is available. So we have a description of the product, a description of the type of the coverage of the data products, and the types of variables that could be of use. We also take advantage of this to find out what are the core data assets that we have at Statistics Canada that could be useful for this organization. One thing that we find out is often, especially the private sector, they're not aware of the wealth of information that is available at Statistics Canada. And that could be, we want them to be more aware so they can use this data efficiently. And this will be useful when we try to have a win-win partnership, which I will discuss later. Our legal team is then responsible to look at the regulatory framework. So we have different jurisdictions, different laws apply with the different jurisdictions, but also for the different companies or organizations. It's key to identify, is there any potential restriction for the use and access of the data? We also need to determine who owns the data. Sometimes we communicate with a data provider and we find out that some of the variables are actually owned by a third party. And sometimes there's some specific restriction for these specific variables. So when we need to contact the data provider, we need to understand his organizational structure. So who do we contact? And sometimes this is a key step, but sometimes it's difficult to find out who do you talk to. So we end up having to do many phone calls to figure out who is the right person to which we should get in contact to start an acquisition process. So that brings us into the next step. We're ready to launch the acquisition process. Essentially, we start with internal communication within StatsCan. So my role is to send a broadcast to all the directors at Statistics Canada, and I tell them this is a new data source that we're about to obtain. This is the description of the variable, the content, are you interested? If there is interest, then we form a working group with the representative of the different statistical program. That working group plays an active role for the life cycle of the data. Like they'll be there to analyze the data when it first comes in so we can have a coordinated approach in the data analysis, the quality assessment of the data. If there is any issues, they let us know. And our role, often I'm the data custodian for these data sets, so my role will be to contact the data provider to answer any of these questions. Then we're ready to communicate with the data provider. So when we, because there's an interest, we say, yes, let's go forward with this. So we essentially what we do, we have an introductory package. It's different documents. So we have a letter that explains why we need this data, why it is important for Canadians, for us to have access to this data. We explain the authority under which we can have access to the data. We have a Stats Act that gives us access to any information held by any organization. So we have the right to have access to this data. And then we explain also how we will protect the security and confidentiality of the data. And we explain how it will be used. Typically, we send a package, we wait a few weeks, and then we invite them to a conference call or face-to-face meeting, depending on the context. And we use this that's where we discuss with them any issues or questions that they have. What we've seen recently, especially from the private sector, is they challenge our authority to have access to the data. So often the discussion are between the legal teams of both organizations. And then it evolves when they understand that, yes, we have access. Then it evolves and we talk more about the operational issue. We think it's very important to have early in the process our subject matter expert to attend these meetings because they are there to explain how we plan to use the data. And this helps us get buy-in from the data provider. Also, when you have the analyst, the and on your side, but also on the data provider side, and really know well the data products. That's when there is a synergy coming up, and there's discussion, and it often raises to, oh, this is what we could do with your data. These are the caveats. These are the limitation, but maybe this is how we could partner together in order to get a better product. So it could lead to really fruitful discussion. So when we launch an acquisition process, often we have a progressive approach. So we start by saying, well, we'll ask for a test data file. This will allow us to determine the fitness for use for the specific purposes that we want to do. When we do this, it allows us to use a very simplified agreement. It's two-pager, and it says essentially that we'll not use this data for dissemination. It will only be used to do a feasibility study. Once we're satisfied that data meets our requirement, the fitness for use, then we go and we engage into a data acquisition process in order to get the production data. It's very important for us to be transparent about our use of our data, and we have put on our website, we have external communication, we put on our website different information about the type of administrative data that we have. We have FAQ. These are all live links, so you could take a look, and we have developed a brochure that we also give to our data provider. So how to maintain the partnerships? Well, with the public sector, it's been going on for decades. We have different forums, and it's easy for us to discuss data gaps and different priorities. With the private sector, it's more of an issue. But what we have done recently that was quite successful is we invited ourselves in a forum that was organized by the private sector. So they have these conferences that they organize for themselves. And we went there, we did a presentation, we explained what is Statistics Canada, our role, our mandate, that the fact that we needed to acquire the data, the type of data that they were collecting, and that we would be knocking at their door. So this was a really successful way to get them to know about us, but also to let them know that we would be coming soon to get some information from them. One thing that we want to stress as well is a win-win approach. And that's at the heart of all the negotiation that we're doing. We want to be able to give back something. And I think the other speaker talked about how can we engage in this relationship. What we have done so far that has worked is we have given back, for example, macro data files that meet confidentiality requirements, as you know, back to the data provider. So these data files were cleaned up and they were given back to them. We also receive sometimes metadata that are incomplete. So there was a case where the metadata was incomplete, so we enriched them and we gave it back to the data provider. I'm talking about the private sector. We also provide non-confidential tabulation for statistics of interest because that could be of use to them. And when the data comes in, we do a quality assessment. So we offer to give back to them the quality reports. Okay. So moving forward, partnerships. It is an issue. It is a challenge to establish win-win scenario, to have better data quality, to be able to influence and to come up with solution where the data will be a better quality for them, better quality for us. And this is a particular point that I really look forward for your comments on this. What are your experience? What type of win-win scenarios were you able to put in place? We really need to improve our communication. Transparency is a key. One of our goals is to have more efficient use of admin data, but also to maintain public trust. In order to achieve this, we need to continue to add more information on our website. And for example, we have more than 1,000 data sources for which we're using admin data. We want to be able in the future to put this information on our website. In terms of methods, we would like to improve our data discovery capacity. For example, we have different teams. We have projects on housing. Can I efficiently find information on the web using robot that will extract all the information related to housing? This way we could detect more easily relevant information that could be used in a statistical program and, again, improve the quality. And we would like to find ways to automate some of the processes that we're doing to assess the quality of the data. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very interesting. Broadening a bit the perspective also to other data than big data. And, well, very well keeping the time. So now we go to our fourth speaker, Natalie Rosensky, who works in DStatus, the German Statistical Office, since 2009. She started working in the business register, but since 2013 works in the Institute for Research and Development in Federal Statistics. And for 1 year, she is now part of the big data team and also of the ESS Task Force on Big Data. And she will present access to big data for statistical purposes. Floor is yours.
Thank you for the introduction, Claudia. Yeah, as Claudia said, the topic of my presentation is access to big data for statistical purposes, which is actually of high importance at the DStatus when we talk about the use of big data. This cartoon, which is by AdExchanger, and which I just adapted a bit by adding NSI to the cape, but this cartoon illustrates quite well, in my opinion, that there is this huge data garden that has a big potential for official statistics, but mostly the NSIs are only granted access if they pay for the data. And the main reason for that is probably, as my former speakers have already mentioned as well, that their private owners of data like Facebook or Google have know of the value of their data and already compete with us on some domains. As Jacek in the training workshop on the first day also said, for example, on nowcasting or early estimates of Google based on search engine queries. So just as a short introduction, our expectations regarding the use of big data are actually quite high. We expect a faster data production, more precise results, which is mainly speaking in a geographically sense. And coming along with that, we also expect less burden for respondents. But in order to produce high quality statistics, access to big data also needs to be... in order to do that, it needs to be permanent, independent of the market situation, and unattached by the willing of private data holders. And this is why I focus in this presentation on legal access to big data. Of course, cooperation is always of importance as well, especially right now. Overview, what we are doing in order to find out is big data of any use for us. And we are a member of European Statistical Systems and United Nations Working Groups on Big Data and Official Statistics in order to learn from the experiences of other NSIs and at one point hopefully share our experiences as well. Then, which is very important for us as well, we cooperate with the Working Group New Digital Data of the DStatus Statistical Advisory Board, which represents different stakeholders in Germany, actually. And by discussing the issue of big data with them, their acceptance might be improved by that. And maybe most important regarding the use of big data is our participation in different European projects on big data. Currently, we can sort it in three groups. The first is satellite data or remote sensing data. Those are the projects Maxwell, Deep Solaris, and Smart Statistics. And just quickly, Maxwell is about improving sustainable development and well-being indicators by remote sensing data. Deep Solaris is about detecting solar panels by satellite data, and Smart Statistics is all about economic indicators and can we improve it by this kind of data as well. Then another very important field for us right now is mobile phone data. For this, we have a cooperation with T-Systems, which is a subsidiary of T-Mobile, and which holds a third of the mobile phone market in Germany. And we got some first test data. It's just a start. We have it for a certain region in Germany. We're really happy about that because with this kind of data, we are able to, for example, participate in the SNET city data and labor force survey. And then last but not least, we explore the use of web scraping of online job vacancies. And that is The kind of work we do is rapidly changing, especially because the next ESNET on big data is probably starting the end of this year or the next year. Then the approaches of the, I call them statistical officers, are the following. For once, Destartes and one of our regional officers called ITNRW are planning to commission a comparative law report for Germany. And this report is actually building on their analysis of Eurostat regarding the legal situation in Europe. And this report should also find out how the legal framework of German federal statistics has to be changed that we are able to use and get access to big data. Then legal benchmarks are France and the United Kingdom. Today I learned maybe Spain could be another benchmark here as well. So those have legal regulations that enable them under certain conditions, of course, to access data held by private enterprises. And we would really like to achieve something like that as well. Then there are the recommendations by the UN Global Working Group on Big Data, which can be used as guidelines for negotiations with private enterprises. The recommendations are from 2016, I think. And then there are the communication guidelines of the European Commission from this year, and they are dealing with the sharing of private sector data in Europe. So we already have many examples and documentation about how we could approach this. And the last two documents acknowledge the value of the data for the NSIs, but also respect the business models of the private sector. So what could be a possible solution in Germany? And again, I have to repeat what my former speakers have already told us. Data, in our opinion as well, should be free of costs, as we don't pay for any other data that we get from private enterprises. Why should we pay for big data? What we are aiming for is, or actually we have a national benchmark for that. That is the legislation for administrative data. And that is if we ask administrative bodies for metadata, then we get, at first we get a metadata like origin, structure, and content of the data that they have. And then if a federal ministry then decides that we should further explore it, we even get test data. And then in the end, if we say, okay, this is really good for us, for our statistics, we could really use it actually, then the specific legal regulation has to be adapted. And that is something that we would like to have for big data as well. Or as our Canadian colleague said, why should there be a difference? Legally speaking, there still is, but we would like to have a similar approach for big data. And which was already mentioned as well, we still need to decide if we let the pre-processing of data do by the private enterprises and then probably reimburse them for the services. So again, we don't pay for the data, but probably for the services. And that could maybe be more cost efficient for us because then we don't have to pay for servers, for the IT, and as well for the knowledge that we don't have yet to process this kind of data. So there are, of course, a lot of other legal questions as well, besides the question of access to this kind of data. And this list is not exhaustive. I didn't even put the ethical questions on it that Albrecht mentioned in his presentation. And I just want to pick out two or three points. The first, is there a difference between big data and regular data? What I already said, we already get data from the private enterprises that already cover third persons, for example, data of their employees. So why should we treat big data differently than any other data that we already get? And maybe another question that Yolanda already mentioned, who owns the data? As she said, the general data protection regulation applies to personal data, but the question of machine-generated data cannot be answered yet. So, for example, the data like sensor data from in the agricultural sector, the question is, does this data belong to the owner of the machine, to the owner of the app that comes with the machine, or does it belong even to the producer of the machine? So legally speaking, this still has to be decided, and of course that would be a very important question for us as well. And maybe the last question I would like to tackle is, does big data affect the professional standards of official statistics? As I said in the beginning, we expect a higher relevance, accuracy, and timeliness. But what about the quality, our professional independence, especially as long as the access is still based on individual corporations? And what about the transparency? If the enterprises pre-process the data for us, we have to make sure that we know what they are doing with the data before we get it. So those are just some questions I want to mention, but that we have to examine in further detail in the future. And actually, I would like to do something that in the former session the speakers did. I would like to give a question to you. As I said in the beginning, we know of the benchmarks of France and the UK, and I heard today that there might be another benchmark from Spain. But we would really be interested in if there are any other legal solutions to get access to big data. So, yeah, I'm happy to hear about it in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we have the first discussion item already. Very good. After the presentation, but we still have one more presentation to go, and that is Peter Struis, who is the coordinator of the ESSnet on big data, working in Statistics Netherlands as a member of the management team for the Center for Big Data Statistics. And before, he led the unit for process development and quality management. And his paper is about big data strategies for official statistics. So, floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. There's a second author for the paper, Sophie De Bruy, who is head of methodology in our premises in Heerlen. The question is, first of all, why do we need big data strategies at all? Let's see whether that works. Maybe this works. Yes. Okay, good. So there are changes in the environment, and there are many changes in the environment, and when you go to any big data lecture, you will get lots of elements that seem to be relevant in one way or another, from IT to privacy to whatever. I've singled out five factors that are relevant to NSIs. The first one is very obvious, datafication. Second one, changes in the distribution of the data in society. The other day I was at a data science meeting at university in Maastricht, and there was a CEO of TomTom, and he said to the audience, university audience, academics, actually, you are doing no real research anymore nowadays. That's what we are doing. We work with real data. At the moment, we have about 2,000 experiments going on with our data. And it's much more even with Google and other companies. So they get all the time in interaction with fishing with pixels and whatever. And they are doing research, and it's not academic anymore. Now, I think that is something that shows that there's a rebalancing of data power, and that also affects NSIs. Another factor is competition, was mentioned already. So nowadays, we are losing market share. There are already companies that provide data to companies that are on the stock exchange, that provide data on business cycle, for instance, based on Twitter analysis. Real time. When Argentina had a difficulty with producing reliable inflation figures, there were private companies that made better data. Another thing is changing attitudes. You all know of decreasing response burden. but also there's changing in the profession of money, our stakeholders, they're changing attitudes toward demand. The authority of the data provider is nowadays at issue with alternative facts, etc., etc. And so we, in this respect, in attitudes, there are important changes going on. And the dynamics, the fact that there's so high dynamics is a factor that is important as well. We are not in a stable environment anymore. And that affects what we can do in our statistics. Many things are not predictable anymore, and we have to arrange to organize ourselves in such a way that we still remain relevant. So is there a reason to think about strategic issues? Are we comfortable? Maybe not 100%. So let's have a look at the strategic questions. And I'll mention four things. One is, of course, the positioning of the NSIs themselves. What will be our role? What do we think we should be our role in society in the future? It's not necessarily the same as it used to be. Who are our future customers? What do we want to do towards competitors? Do we want to keep as high as possible a market share, or isn't that something we should try and find our own niche? What do we think about that? There's a strategic question on what to produce, that's linked to the other thing, but also the way we produce. Are we going to produce experimental data that are, how will we deal with quality issues? Then there's something that is just for our very existence important, that we know on what business model we are working. And then the fourth one is, which is an issue for this meeting especially, that is the collaboration with other organizations, the partnership question. So actually there is something about strategy, big data, that we have to tackle. And so I think in order to find an answer to all these questions, we have to go back to first principles. Why are we there? And so what is our role? We all have some mission. Normally that is formalized in terms of producing statistics. That may have to be changed. I'll come back to that. But at least we have certain assets that we can use. But still, there's the fear for competition. Is that fear real? Yes, they are getting market share, and we have to find a position to deal with that. So we do have our own official statistics, which has some strengths that are very difficult to match by private companies, but maybe it's not impossible. I think our value added can be, is mainly two terms that are central, that's professionalism and impartiality. These are the things that really distinguish us from many other organizations that we could say is our competition. Looking at this, you may see that there are threats, but maybe there are opportunities as well. We could assume new roles. I mentioned the mission, producing statistics. I think actually the deeper mission is not producing statistics, but make sure that the public, society, has good information and impartial information at its disposition. It's available in the public domain, and at the same time, etc. And if we can guarantee that role, even though some other organizations produce information, which they are doing right now already, then that will be good. But then we should assume a new role, like validating information by others. So what if you are a Ministry of Health and you get information in a public domain on flu trends? Okay, what to do with that? Then I think we have a role to say something about that. Maybe we could even audit such public domain statistics. We could maybe even change laws so that we get access to the basic data from those kind of organizations. This was actually discussed yesterday also in the session which was moderated by Marianne Kotsova. So When we now look at outputs, we used to optimize our outputs by going to a statistics commission, making an annual program, and that is the way we are still working. Now we have to turn towards a situation that is in flux, where there are all the time new opportunities, and I think we have to make room for those opportunities. And these opportunities in the statistics that we make, of course, they are discussed at many fora. I won't talk about it right now. There's another side in terms of opportunities, and that is the administrative burden that can be lowered and the cost that may be lowered in certain circumstances. These last two things are very important for many of our stakeholders. So as statisticians, we may tend to concentrate on the first set, but strategically we have also to concentrate on the other two elements, I think. Now, we are coming from a situation where everything is stable and predictable. Now we're going to a situation where there are opportunities, where there's more dynamisms, the more opportunities, and so we may have to change the way we make statistics. And so if we look at opportunities, how do we deal with them? Because there are many, should we be selective? In what way selective, etc.? So in Statistics Netherlands, we have made some orientation. There's of course the possibility to have new funding from partnerships, from e.g. also ESSnet, from Horizon, from other sources. Maybe if we are cooperating with Google already for certain data, and so there are a lot of possibilities. And many depend on partnerships with others, as we've seen here already. We need, in our new approach, to have an environment for experimentation. That is at the national level. I'll come back to that in a moment. That's at the European level. So we have a sandbox in Ireland, which will be replaced by something even better, I guess, in the future. There's the ESSnet. There's the huge Horizon budget for making new things. And so actually, we also have, as a kind of attitude, we have to go for growth, a growth proposition. So take new opportunities, not just maximize the output given your budget, but maximize the budget itself. But if you do that, that may be a little bit opportunistic. What you really have to do is base that on a good foundation by being in interaction with data users. And only then, in the new circumstances, dynamics with all kinds of opportunities, you will get something in which you really optimize the fulfillment of your mission and not just maximize your budget and the size of your office. Okay. So we're looking, of course, to win-win situations. Now, we have created a Center for Big Data Statistics in which we develop new products, in which we also prioritize a platform approach. Getting access to new data sources is central as a condition for being active in this field. We have to develop, and we are developing, scientific knowledge, and we also offer training to other organizations, especially government organizations. And so in a strategic way, we are expanding our activities in big data. But then when we do that, with innovation, there's also another aspect of that, and that you want to implement that. And for time reasons, I will not go into the problem of going from experiments to official statistics. But we have already some practice, and I invite you to read the paper on this. So I will skip this, and when skipping to conclusions, I will just jump to there and mention that important elements are the following: the active approach to new output opportunities, to be part of an ecosystem. That's the subject of this meeting, of this session. You really have to know what is your business model and what are the roles you want to play as an SNI. Data access is a sine qua non. It's really a condition of whatever your solution is going to look at. And finally, it is essential that in this changing environment, you keep very close to your to the users of your data, and also actually not only to the data users, but to your stakeholders. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much also for giving us insight into this Center for Big Data Statistics. I find that very interesting. So maybe we can have a different light because we don't see anybody in the room and we are just, if you can switch off that one. Yes, this is better. So now it's, I see already fingers very up there. The microphone is coming and then here. Yes.
Hello, my name is Amina. I'm from the Federal Office of Statistics of Germany and I'm really keen to understand what we can offer to the data providers of administrative data as well as big data. So my questions are going to Ms. Berard, Ms. Gomez, and Mr. Struis, and they are of almost the same kind. Ms. Berard said we offer the data providers non-confidential tabulations and quality reports. What do you mean by that? Why non-confidential? Do you have some restrictions? Or, I mean, I don't understand this part really well. To Ms. Gomez, you said you could offer IT and data analysts, specialists, to the data providers. Again, are you sure that's really what we can offer? Because usually private sectors, enterprises, they have better IT sources and data analytics persons, and they are usually well paid, so they are better trained and so on. So what do you mean by that? And for Mr. Struis, you mentioned these strengths of the official statistics producers. What do you think, how can we use these strengths in the building partnership with data providers? Thank you.
There was a question next to you, yes. Maybe it's good to hand over the micro.
Thank you. Yes, interesting presentations, many challenges. But I forgot my name, Hans-Hugo Sebe from Statistics Norway. But there was one word I didn't hear. I might have missed something, and that was the word equal treatment. It might not be a principle in the code of practice, but it's an very important principle in the public sector. Put it simple. If we have a partnership with one telecommunication company, do we need to have partnership with them all, or at least offer them partnerships on the same terms, all of them? Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Jozef Kárpáti from the Hungarian Central Statistical Office. And my question goes to Ms. Hélène Berard. First of all, I found it very impressive what you are doing with data acquisitions and some practical questions about the public sector data, what you obtain. I would like to know approximately how many agreements do you have with public sector authorities and administrative data record owners? How much time did it take you to get to the current status? So how long was this trip for you? And the last question, can you estimate from your experience what is the time between an idea and between a finalized agreement with supporting metadata in the public sector data acquisitions? Thank you.
Okay, maybe we start with the first round of questions. The first one was for Canada, Netherlands, and Spain. I don't know who wants to start. Maybe Spain? The first one, what can we offer to data providers?
Well, I just mentioned some examples of what can we offer to data providers. And I think that it will depend of also what they want and what, because depending on the kind of data or for the different NSIs. And also, I think that, for example, one of the things we said, it was just access to some tailor-made data, but protecting the confidentiality. I know that it's not easy, but okay, I think that maybe we can just think a little bit about if what kind of partnership we have with them, because if they are helping us, for example, to develop also an instrument to process big data, we could consider, for example, they are some kind of a research entity, so maybe we can offer other kind of data, which are more kind of data that we can give for researchers. This could be an example. And I don't know, maybe my colleagues who are more dealing with this issue and have experience in that can have more examples on what you can offer. So for my part, it was just by the theory, because when we ask for data and our experience, we try just that they get involved in the public interest, so try to understand why we need the data, why we do statistics, some kind of social responsibility or philanthropy. And in other cases, I have to recognize that we pay in just pilots we made, and we need the data to see if they worth. We start paying, but just letting clear that we pay for the processing of the data, but not for the data. But we didn't explore other options or big partnerships to say that. We are still working on that.
So when it comes to confidentiality, it's part of the Statistics Act. The Act gives us access to the data, but it has also a clause in it that says we must protect the confidentiality of the data, and we cannot divulge and disclose any information that would lead to the identification of a business, a person, or an entity. So when we give them back information, we have to make sure it's information that cannot be used to that cannot be used to identify, for example, a person. So, for example, when we receive the data, we link it with all the other data set that we have, and that helps us to determine the quality assessment, the coverage, and so forth. But when we do the quality assessment of their own data, it's only using their data. So we're looking at relationship edits, different types of things, so we can only use their data to assess it, and then we give it back to them. When it comes to metadata, that's not confidential. If we come up with better metadata, this we can give. It's not confidential.
Thank you for these questions. I first answer the question on how to use our strength. It's best to start close by and to broaden your influence. And the best way to do that is that within government, I think. So what we try to do now with big data is to become the center for the government on big data. For many government organizations, working with data is not their core activity, but for us, it is. So it's natural for others to come to us and ask us to help. So what we try to do is to become also a data hub based on platforms for data that is available at different parts of the organization and help them to work with their own data and to combine it with other data that's available already. We are also doing that by connecting to cities. So we are having a number of cities now in a network which we're helping with developing on the basis of big data and other data to get their own information system optimized. Another thing which we can do already within the government is that we can provide training on big data. We are doing that now, and so we get people from the government, very few at the moment, but that's going to expand, to get training with us on big data. And in that way, we think when they go to us and get some training, at a later stage, they will be ambassadors for us. They will know what what we can do and what we cannot do. They will turn to us if they have some funds available for fulfilling a request for developing some information product. Looking at the wider horizon, then I think a strategic way to move towards is to develop platforms, and that is to use the trust you have as an institute, and that trust is based not just on law, but also on, or mainly even on reputation and culture. And so there's a lot of mistrust between different private organizations. But with us as an intermediate, they may be prepared to share some types of data, especially, of course, anonymized data. And in all these three tracks, we can also offer professional help, professionalism. Actually, if you look at big organizations like the Big Five on the internet, then or news cyber, then these have a budget for research that is many, many, many times higher than the total budget for official statistical production of any country. And if you look at those proportions, then you really have to think, where do we want to be in the future? And so we also decided not just to hunt any opportunity. If we see that someone is doing something, we're not trying to do it also and do it better. No, we try to be a little bit strategic in these things. Okay, then there was one other question on equal treatment. That's, of course, a fair point. This is something that was actually specifically looked at in the Global Working Group of the United Nations on Big Data and of Official Statistics. I played a role in that, and we drafted a number of principles, and one of them indeed had to do with equal treatment, although we call that, I think, a level playing field, which is not precisely the same, but it has to do with that. There are actually a number of principles that we thought we should apply, and we also looked at whether data should be for free or not, and you have to respect the business model of the companies from which you get data, and so on, and so and so forth. When dealing with partners, with data providers, there's this distinction between voluntary cooperation and cooperation under law. But this distinction is important. Of course, we need at some stage, we need a legal backing by which we can, in principle, force data access in some cases. But even then, our experience with administrative data sources is that even then, when you get access by law, you still need their cooperation to get working modality, working arrangements. You really, even then, have to work on the basis of a real partnership and not just say, well, this is the law, please give me the data. That's not the way it works in real life. Thanks.
Yeah, just Natalie also wanted to add, and I really asked because also to be short, because I'm sure there are other questions. So I think this will be on the equal treatment, or?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And what can we offer to data providers? But really quickly, from our experience with their mobile phone data provider, we can offer them our reputation, I would say, because, for example, for TIS systems, it's really good for them that they can cooperate with us and at one point publish this. And then we have their experience to combine different data sources. They don't have it, and they don't have, for example, census data to validate
their data. So that's one thing. And then why do we need partnerships with all the data providers? Right now we pay quite a lot of money for only a small sample of data. We couldn't afford to pay for all of it. And then one data provider, which is T-Mobile, for example, is better in the countryside, for example. Other data providers, there are two others, are better in the cities or in urban areas. So regarding representativeness, it's really important that we get other data as well.
Okay, then we had a third question from Hungary. And then I would like now to go to Canada.
Hi. So we have something like 700 acquisitions from the public sector. But just remember, Statistics Canada, actually, we're celebrating 100 years of existence. We were founded in 1918. And it's since the early beginning we have been obtaining administrative data. So it's decades of work to obtain this administrative data. And many of these agreements were negotiated by other people than me. I've been since I'm in this position, I've been negotiating two agreements with the public sector and more than 125 with the private sector. Just last year, with 125 ongoing acquisition, because this is where we're heading. With the public sector, like Peter was saying, even if they're part, I would say we're the federal government, we have the federal family, it takes sometimes up to a year to negotiate an agreement. And it depends on the complexity of the agreement. For example, I'm negotiating one right now. We call it a tripartite agreement because there's three departments involved. So there's a lot of back and forth. So I'd say the timeline is about a year. In terms of actual work, to do an acquisition, let's say to the onset of the acquisition until we have it ready for ingestion for subject matter, it's about 40 to 50 days actual work. That involves getting in contact, doing all the preliminary work, you know, doing the agreement, negotiating with the data provider, but then taking all the legal aspect, taking care of the IT aspect, the data comes in, the reception, the transformation of the data, and to make it available, that's about 40 days. But these 40 days, they go over a year. Thank you for the question.
Two more replies to the equal treatment, but short, because we see people are leaving.
Just for the equal treatment, it was in my presentation, mentioned about impartiality. Normally, you have products out of these partnerships, and of course, they should be accessible to all of them. And yes, we should allow then, if they are interested from other private partners, for example, mobile companies, to join this partnership. Yes, they should join this partnership. It would be very good to join this partnership because then you can set up standards that are then that increase the quality of your product that you have later on. Of course, you have to be strategic in doing so.
Yes, to add, I think that Hans mean that like users. If we ask other users for data, we don't give nothing for compensation. And maybe if we ask for companies, we are offering incentives or some kind of compensation. But as I said, we need to make a difference, thinking that we need when we really need this big data, maybe we can think that or sell it, saying that they are being part of the production process, not that individuals. And it could be a way of approaching the citizen, that we need those big data and they are collaborating with public institutions, so we are not breaking the equal treatment principle. So that's my point of view.
Okay, is there still appetite then for other questions because we're already into the lunch break? There's one on this side. Can you just hand over maybe there? There, okay, it's there.
Thank you. First, I would like to thank you all presenters for making me feeling good. Why? Because I have heard in this session that you have all the same issues as we have in Latvia. I forgot to say my name. I am Jolanta Minkevice from Latvia. And you have all the same questions we have, and you are taking all the same actions as we do. And special thanks to Statistics Canada. Why? Again, everybody knows that Canada is one of the top countries, top statistical institutions in the world. And I were listening to you, and I was thinking that we are having one-to-one situation. We have a custodian. We have inventory of all indicators coming in-house. We have the same process for to obtain the data. First, legal people speaks, and then we, statisticians, speak. So, thanks. And as well, I would like to share probably also our experience a bit. We have, by legislation, we can access all the private data, including big data, including confidential data even. But as you all know, the legal act is one thing and the practice is another thing. And it takes sometimes years to discuss with other partner about this access. And we experienced positive results. Of course, we also have experienced negative results. And if we experience negative results, we after a year or a while, we approach again and again until we have a success. Thank you.
So I understand this was more a comment than a question.
Yeah.
I will ask whether there are some other questions, as I said, because people are leaving. If not, then...
comment that I would like to make is we have an escalation procedure. When things take too long, we have a strategy to escalate the process. And what we do typically is we, for example, sometimes the chief statistician of Canada will send a letter to the organization that is maybe taking too long to cooperate. So we do have different escalation process depending of the context, and we go at different level up to the chief statistician.
Okay, I see that everybody wants to go for lunch. So I think we anyway had very good and interesting presentations for a very hot topic these days. Thank you very much to the speakers. Thank you very much to the audience for listening and asking the questions.